Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. John Glennon joins us now from Broadway Sports. John, I was telling you this story to get you checked in on the Zoom meeting. I said, you know, I got a little guy, and I'm trying to get him ready for bed, get him in the bathtub, get him pajamas, you know, get him all wound down, because, you know, at that age, you have to wind them down because they're still trying to go. Get him in bed, come in, finally sit down, take a look at my phone. And I thought, what in the world? Isaiah Wilson, I quit. What? I'm done with football as a Titan. No further comments. So then you think, did they cut him? Did something happen that I didn't see? So I just quickly start looking through Twitter. And as soon as I did that, I thought, I don't see anything else other than his quote. I'm gonna screen cap that. So I took a picture of my phone. And as soon as I did that, I hit refresh again and it was gone. Somebody must have called him very quickly and said, hey, man, you should take that down. But here we are.
Surprising that he would make a bad decision like that. I think that's a first for him. But no, of course, my first question for you, of course, was did your son, you know, when you put him to bed and he had his prayers and so forth, was he by any chance praying for an Isaiah Wilson release? Could we trace it all back to him?
No. He doesn't even have a stuffed panda. Now, he's got a bed full of stuffed animals. No panda. An ear fell off of his stuffed giraffe last night. Maybe that was an omen of bad things to come in the animal kingdom. But it was a tough night for the panda as well. And I know many people have put out a timeline for this guy, but he's the gift that just won't stop giving in this case.
If you laid out a blueprint of how to ruin a promising career and screw up your rookie, your rookie year, you could not lay out a better blueprint than what Isaiah Wilson has done for a first round pick that showed plenty of promise. And as you say, every time you think it hits rock bottom and you say, okay, well, he has done this. Certainly someone has gotten in his ear and said, okay, look, you made this mistake, but don't do it again. Maybe we can start to turn things around. Every time you think something like that might occur, he goes and does something else in another week or two. And more often than not lately, it's been social media, you know, and that is completely, of course, his choice. Nobody is forcing him to tweet things out, put things on Instagram about, you know, partying down on a yacht in Miami on New Year's Eve. And it's just one mistake after another. And it's a mess. You know, nothing officially has changed because of what Isaiah Wilson tweeted out last night. The Titans haven't released him. They haven't traded. So the only potential change is if Isaiah Wilson has somehow decided to retire from the NFL, which I find doubtful because he would be opening himself up to a great loss of money at that point. So really nothing has changed except for the fact that with each successive moment like this, he makes it more and more unthinkable that there would ever be any kind of a future with the Titans.
Yeah, and I know you had tweeted last night that you had done some digging and the Titans were like, no, we didn't. No, he's not released or anything. Nothing's changed on our end.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, again, it's Isaiah Wilson doing something that really signifies nothing. There's no official meaning to it. Again, unless, the only way I could see any significance to it is if he is retired, which I seriously doubt is the case. There's no cut. There's no trade. It's just him kind of venting and throwing up an insignificant sort of tweet as best I can see. You just question why, and you just wonder what influences he has at this point. Surely somebody in his life has to be able to help him turn it around. Now he has to be willing to do it himself, but you know, so far we've seen none of that.
John Glennon joins us at Glennon Sports from Broadway Sports, talking Titans and more.
Well, I guess, John, explain to us how the Titans can get out of this contract based off of the NFI, which I've never heard of, and they suspended him. Take us through this process and how much it would cost the Titans if they wanted to get out of this contract.
Well, it's kind of messy, and there's a lot of gray area right now in China. I'm sure the Titans are trying to find the best option. You know, what everybody wants to do and says, oh, well, just cut the guy, get rid of him. That's a great idea, of course, but you're also left, you know, with 5 or 6 million dead cap money for next year that ideally you wouldn't like to have. Now, if Isaiah Wilson, you know, doesn't report to training, if he's still on the roster, you know, going to next year, if he doesn't report, if he doesn't play, you know, then you start opening up a new can of worms. You know, can you open up some of those guarantees and start getting some of that guaranteed money back? Because as the way things stand right now, with that four-year contract, a rookie contract, just about everything in a first-round draft picks contract is guaranteed. And it's tough to get back. Now, as you said, Blaine, you know, when they put him on NFI last year, you know, when they suspended him for a game as well, maybe, you know, if it comes down to legalities, maybe that offers them opportunities to get some of that guaranteed money back, to say that, you know, this guy was not part of the team, at least for such and such a portion of the season, you know, that he had been making no effort whatsoever to be a part of the team at that point. So, you know, there's still a lot of things that can be done. You know, in a perfect world, I think the Titans would love for some team, you know, to take a big chance and trade for Isaiah Wilson. I'm sure it would be a very cheap trade to make, but it would take a very, I think, optimistic general manager who would need a whole lot of guarantees that Isaiah Wilson had turned things around. And, you know, as of right now, I think it's a pretty big risk for anyone to take.
Mm. Well, I was trying to think of, John, you know, the last time the Titans had, let's say, a problematic player, and the first person that comes to mind is Pac-Man Jones. Yep. Kind of compare the two situations, whether they're somewhat similar or alike, and what happened there, a little different situation. He wasn't a rookie, and when we're talking about doing all these things, even though he did some things rookie season, man, I mean, how would you compare the two?
Yeah, well, certainly the pattern, you know, is similar, I think, with the two players in terms of the, you know, the legalities involved. I think, you know, two of the ones I was just looking at here recently that maybe I'll bring up for comparison. You know, one guy is Antonio Brown. You know, last year with the Raiders, signed that big contract with a huge signing bonus, never played for the Raiders, you know, was cut before he ever made the Raiders or played for the Raiders. And there was quite a contentious battle there, you know, and that didn't give him much of a chance. That didn't give Antonio Brown much of a chance to actually get that guaranteed money because he never actually played for the Raiders. Different story here. Isaiah Wilson did, you know, play a touch and certainly participated in practices for most of the season anyway. So we'll see about that. And then you look at another guy like, you know, I looked at Andrew Luck, who obviously is not a similar position character wise, but he retired, you know, with years still left on his contract. And the Colts, had they wanted to, they could have at least made the effort to get their guaranteed money back from Andrew Luck at that point, because he wasn't going to be playing. They chose not to, you know, because I assume all Andrew Luck had done for that over the years. But those are two kind of examples where teams and players have battled over bonus money, over guaranteed money. And I suspect that's going to be the case for the Titans and Isaiah Wilson, because, as I say, so much, you know, nearly all of that contract is technically guaranteed. So you're going to have to open up some of those guarantees, you know, by pointing out the error of Isaiah Wilson's ways in his early going with the Titans.
Well, naturally, the salary cap is somewhat being announced around the 182.3. We don't know what the hard number is going to be. That means some guys are going to be leaving the Titans. Who's going to be leaving, in your prediction, what's going to happen here when free agency starts?
I think the biggest name that is most likely to go, in my opinion, is probably Corey Davis. You know, I just don't see the way the Titans are going to be able to keep him. If you're talking about money, that's, you know, probably in those low teens, I would think, somewhere in that neighborhood. And I think, you know, these days we're seeing so many wide receivers coming through the college ranks that are talented every year. Another good crop this year. You know, there's a number of good wide receivers on the free agent market this year, perhaps some that might be less expensive than Corey Davis. I think the Titans would certainly love to keep him, but I think I would see him moving on. I think the most interesting, you know, guy for me to watch is Jonnu Smith, because you look at Jonnu and you don't necessarily see a lot of replacements on the market, and you know, not a lot of guys coming through the draft in the great quantities like you see at wide receiver that are as athletic, that can block from time to time like Janu. So you know, he to me would certainly seem to be a pretty solid candidate if the Titans want to go to a franchise tag, you know, with the hopes of re-signing him to a longer deal, similar to what they did, you know, last offseason with Derrick Henry, you know, and also signing Ryan Tannehill to the longer contract.
We got to add Jayon Brown. Where do you think is going to happen? Is he going or is he staying? You think?
That's a tough one, too. I think the Titans very much want to keep him. You know, he's the kind of linebacker that is so valuable in today's NFL. You know, he can cover, he can move, he can tackle. And I think, you know, we've seen guys like him come back from injuries like that before and still be okay. You know, is David Long a good player? I think he is, especially in terms of the run game, but I don't think he is the cover guy that Jayon Brown is. And as we saw last year, I think the Titans need as much help as they can get in terms of coverage. So I think, you know, I suspect that they will make a very strong effort to keep Jayon Brown. I would put him as a high priority along with Johnny Smith.
And with John Glennon, with Glennon Sports.
John, you did a deep dive into some PFF numbers, looked deeply into some things with Ryan Tannehill. I know this, just about any time I see a tweet from PFF and it has his name, Derrick Henry's name, or it has, oh gosh, the receiver. Why am I blanking for the Titans?
AJ Brown.
AJ, yes. It's always some unbelievable superlative, but sorry, AJ. It's been a long week stuck at home, but you did a deep dive into the quarterback numbers.
Yeah, PFF does their annual quarterback breakdown. You know, they take a look, a deep dive at each of the quarterbacks in the league. You know, and I thought there were some interesting things, you know, to kind of that were kind of revealed in PFF. You know, some were pretty clear, you know, that we knew that he is excellent, you know, very, very good in the red zone, very strong numbers there. I thought some of the things that were a little bit more interesting, Ryan Tannehill threw into tighter windows quite a bit more often than most NFL quarterbacks did last year. You know, kudos to him for that. In terms of an open receiver, for instance, when you throw to a receiver who really doesn't have a defender, you know, within a yard or so of him, NFL average for that, quarterbacks was 56% of their throws were to an open receiver. Tannehill was only 44%. So shows you, I think, just how good a job he did of being an accurate guy and kind of throwing receivers open in that regard. I think another one that stood out to me was the, you know, how much better a job he did this year of avoiding sacks. And obviously you got to give credit to the offensive line. But when you go back to last year too, and you see the number of sacks that were really attributed to Ryan Tannehill compared to this year, significant amount of difference. And that also correlates to the number of passes that he threw away this year. Normally you look away at that stat and say, geez, the quarterback's throwing away a lot of passes. I think that was a good thing because Ryan Tannehill essentially cut in half his percentage of getting sacked under pressure, which was huge, you know, for the Titans offense. Another one that stood out is kind of one of their signature stats where they compare kind of the amount of positive grades to the amount of negative grades. And Tannehill, when you put those two figures together, actually came out on top, number one in the NFL, which kind of shows the consistency. And to me, just sort of shows that so much more often we're seeing Tannehill come away from a game that is very good as opposed to either average or below average. As I say, he was top of the NFL in that department, you know, and when you're ahead of the guys like Brady and Mahomes and so forth in that department, you're doing pretty well. There are, you know, one or two that came as a surprise that were not so good as well. I think the one that stood out to me was they do another comparison where they compare sort of what's called big time throws. And that's pretty much what it sounds like, down the field, tight accuracy, that type of thing, versus turnover worthy throws, which, you know, not only passes that are intercepted, but could be intercepted, or quarterback fumbles as well. And Ryan Tannehill actually did not fare very well in that comparison. The main reason being lack of downfield throws in that regard. Did not do it as often as a lot of the other quarterbacks did. And he had his share of fumbles as well. Fortunately for the Titans, not a lot of interceptions, even though there were probably a few that were dropped last year.
John Glennon from Broadway Sports joining us. Mike Vrabel spoke to season ticket holders. I noticed you had retweeted he was asked about a kicker, but anything stand out? Obviously, it's been a while since we've heard from Vrabel. We heard from John Robinson. He had strong words for Isaiah Wilson. Anything stand out to you that Mike Vrabel said to the season ticket holders and listening to that whole thing?
Yeah, you know, not surprisingly, he was asked early on about this decision on the coordinators, and in particular, defensive coordinator Shane Bowen. And, you know, he said all the right things about Shane Bowen, certainly was very supportive, and stressed the continuity that they will get with Shane Bowen. And of course, the obvious, you know, reply to that is, sure, continuity is great, but if you're trying to be continuous or maintain continuity with a defense that was terrible last year, is that necessarily the right move? And I wrote a couple weeks ago, you know, to put Shane Bowen's deal in context, he had a lot of things working against him last year, and we've talked about this on the show too. You know, no off season to work with guys as a new coordinator, no preseason games to work as a play caller, et cetera, et cetera. Still, bottom line is those numbers were pretty shaky. So again, to me, that's a case of Vrabel putting himself on that line, saying continuity is more important, really, than a fresh set of eyes and a new scheme on the defense. And, you know, yeah, on a smaller note, I did think it was interesting on the kicker front that, you know, he certainly said there's going to be some competition brought in, but still sounded as if he was, interested in giving Steven Goskowski, who is a pending UFA, another shot at the deal as well.
So they need to make more kicks, which is something they have really struggled with the last couple of years. They need to make more kicks.
He did jokingly, of course, but he did say maybe it's me with the kicker situation. I don't think that's the case, but it's nice of him to fall on the sword.
Well, there was once a band called Paul Revere and the Raiders. They had a song, Kicks Just Keep Getting Harder to Find. And so that's been the case for the Titans. There's your old music reference for today. John, good stuff, man. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.